This is what I was referring to in the past, how brilliant Governor Newsom was. He was able to deflect criticism about not appointing an African-American woman to the U.S. Senate by simultaneously appointing an African-American woman to Secretary of State. It was a brilliant move. And so it's difficult for someone to say, hey, this was terrible. You didn't appoint African-American woman. He's like, hey, what are you talking about? The first African-American woman Secretary of State. Yeah. And so, yes, he's going to be a moderate. He's going to be a lot more liberal than the Latino U.S. senator that exists. You have two Cubans and Cruz and Rubio, who are also a Republican. But you have now four Democrats, Melendez and in Nevada, and a new one in Lujan in New Mexico. He will, I think, be more progressive than any of those.
Well, I want to thank you, Fernando Guerra. We'll be getting back in touch with you, professor of political science at Loyola Marymount University, director of the Center for the Study of Los Angeles. That does it for our show. On Tuesday, tune into our documentary, 4 Days in Western Sahara. On Friday, our interview with the late John le Carré. Remember, wearing a mask is an act of love. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. The time is 7:59 a.m. Next up, we have Wednesday Talk Radio.
Carry it on, everybody. This is Paul Rowland, the host of Wednesday Talk Radio. Good morning to all of you. How are y'all weathering the final days of 2020? It's been quite the year, hasn't it? And guess what? It's not over yet. So I've got a bunch of things I'd like to talk about. I am flying solo today, so lines are open, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. The number to jump in. I've also got a Facebook page, which I sometimes forget to mention. It's KBOO Wednesday Talk Radio. A number of people have liked the page. Occasionally, I'll get someone weighing in. You're free to do that if you, whatever reason, don't want to call in to our studio line. I am calling from my home. We're still on COVID restrictions at KBOO. We have a few dedicated people, like my board operator, Ty Walker, who comes in and alternates with Sonia week by week. We really appreciate them. And I've got a few things I want to talk about. I'd like to know what you want to talk about. A few weeks ago, I had on the political cartoonist, writer, graphic novelist Ted Rall on my show, and he talked about some very bleak, very scary scenarios that he thought were very possible and were kind of somewhat discordant from the general talk on the media, especially the liberal media, certainly obviously not in the conservative media. In fact, we talked some about how the drumbeat of support for these crazy ideas about massive voter fraud have been basically doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on the AM right-wing talk show airwaves and some of the evening Fox News hosts, in contrast with the Fox, the regular sort of Fox News news department. So we were talking about these possible scenarios of real martial law in this country, a real coup d'etat. And since then, I've thought about it more, and it's hard to see that Trump would be able to pull something that off. But I think it's important to consider that the powers of the presidency have grown so much that it's actually possible to contemplate one man who's becoming increasingly isolated. I mean, hell, even Pat Robertson has said that he's retreated into an alternate reality. I guess it takes one to know one, but you know, he's even going against his own vice president, Pence. He's lashing out right and left by the inside accounts. He's articles say he's losing his mind. Of course, there's been articles about that ever since he came to the presidency. Saying that he's Trump, an Axios article, Trump turns on everyone, which is an article worth reading. Still, he does have the so-called football with the buttons to the nuclear arsenal. He still has the potential to launch a war. I guess probably first on the list would be Iran. Certainly first on the hawks of Israel's list. There's a lot of damage. He's obviously now pardoning the Blackwater mercenaries who were convicted, one of whom was convicted of a life sentence. He's pardoning Papadopoulos and other people involved in the Russia inquiry. To the extent that can actually help him personally and politically is an interesting question. So there's a lot of questions. As I said, I'm kind of backing off on my, I was really, just I guess because Ted Rall was the only person who was really talking about the real, what I saw as real possibilities of not just damage that he can do, further do to the environment, relationships between people, killing people with COVID, and other things. There's the possibility that he could really actually pull off some kind of, something that could become a bloody insurrection, if not actually a civil war. Now it does seem like he is becoming increasingly isolated. The extent to which he could really pull something like that off almost solely by himself, obviously he's surrounding himself with a bunch of lackeys. He's bringing in the wingnuts to meetings, exclusively the wingnuts to meetings at the White House. It's is it just a crazy end of the administration soap opera we're seeing? Is it is there more that could happen? I don't know. I as I said, I'm tending to the view that there actually is going to be a transition of power, and that it's not going to get as ugly as I thought it might. But I think it's still, certainly the question of the powers of the presidency is something to take very seriously. That's one thing. I do see we already have Robbie. Thank you. You usually call at the end of the show, so it's good to see you. Hold on just another few minutes. I just sort of want to set a few other things out. That Patriot Prayer / Patriot Front demonstration in Salem, where, I mean, hell, they smashed in the glass on the doors. I think it was side doors. They bear sprayed the state police, and they got away without seemingly fractured bones, or I guess a couple guys arrested. I guess the guy that was caught using the bear spray, which I remember from one of those heated demonstrations in downtown Portland that seem themselves oh so long ago, where there is a bear spray. That stuff is nasty, nasty. Anyway, so that kind of got me thinking of, a lot of people said there's never really been, these really heated protests at Salem. It's kind of a quiet city. I do remember when I first got back to Portland in 2012, after the last regional Earth First, Northwest Regional Earth First Rendezvous, which I missed terribly. There was we went to Salem and basically occupied the building with just a really powerful, powerful movement with a couple of pole sitters. I think that's what they're sitting in, the flag poles outside the right in front of the state capitol. And a whole bunch of us were in there chanting, singing for quite a while and, you know, disturbing the work. But, of course, there wasn't a legislative session, special legislative session going on, which was what the whole Patriot Prayer, Patriot Front thing was all about. I mean, it just got kind of ugly. I guess just the contrast between, you know, a powerful protest and, you know, we ended up winning the Elliott State Forest fight. So, you know, I'm not saying that that particular protest had that much to do with it, whereas these people are fighting this, you know, racist, authoritarian, fascist rear guard battle against the inevitable forces of the you know, so-called browning of America, the younger generations being more open to progressive, even socialist ideas, the inevitable, you know, what would be inevitable if it weren't for this rear guard act racist, white supremacist, patriarchal culture in power, would be this inevitable move towards, you know, a more livable, more human society, I think, anyway. So yeah, that contrast was really really stark to me. And then the fact that we got these Patriot Front people now joining in with the Patriot Prayer, I was looking them up. They have been stickering Salem and Portland with this Not Stolen, Conquered sticker. And again, there, that puts in stark contrast. I mean, on our side, there's the whole land back movement to actually, you know, give back land and resources to the indigenous people that were stolen from. And I've actually been collecting a number of really heartening examples of that on Vancouver Island, on the Oregon coast and seaside, the Clatsop Nehalem tribes, the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, a bunch of examples of that, you know, relatively small but important. So on our side, there's, you know, justice, racial and economic, and gender justice, and on their side, kind of the opposite. I don't know, I hate to put in such stark terms. Obviously, there's a huge middle ground, but certainly the Patriot Prayer and Patriot Front people are operating that extreme right wing. So those are a few things. Got some other things I want to talk about. I kind of had a whole wrap on sort of the origins of, I don't know, what I saw sort of the origins of Trumpism in some Christian millenarian ideas morphing into Christian nationalist, and sort of a talk about the origins of Christianity, you know, with Christmas coming up. But let's just see what you all want to talk about. First up is Robbie. Go ahead, Robbie.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you know, I feel as though what you... I don't believe a lot of the stuff that's happening. When I say I don't believe it, I don't believe the way that it's being told to us. I truly don't look at Trump as being... I look, like, as you said, the presidential figure, the presidential role has become such... a large thing that I don't think that the CIA or the FBI would just let anybody run for president. If you're looking at a person like Bernie Sanders, you know, they would never allow he would never be a nominee. And this is because the Democratic Republican Party is one war machine. And so, like, there's very few people that I can have this conversation with, because we get so wrapped up in the left and right, but I really look at them as the same exact party. I look at the way that the presidents have been elected. It always goes left, it goes right, it goes left, it goes right, right? You know what I mean? It goes from Obama, it came from Bush it was Clinton, back to Bush.
I think you're ignoring some nuances. I mean, you know, the fact that there are movements and, you know, real progressive or left organizations that have allied themselves with the Democratic Party, and I think there's a reason for that. And the fact that someone like Deb Haaland could be nominated Interior Secretary, and, you know, there, a lot of the other nominations are actually kind of heartening.
You're talking about the first Native American appointed to.
Yeah.
This is not a different tactic. They use people specifically for this reason of trying to calm us down with our nerves and being like, oh, look, the first Native American secretary. Meanwhile, this is still supporting the same war machine.
I agree with that, but I also think I think both can be true. I think that's where I disagree with you, and I think
I don't think we have a disagreement, because I do see how people, particularly the base of the Democratic Party, is not what the Democratic Party is. So I can understand where you're saying it's like, yeah, there are ideals that the Democratic Party say they represent, but then when you look at what they're doing, the overwhelming majority of us support Medicare for All. I guarantee you will not find a civilian Democrat that's against universal health care in some form or way, or, you know, whether it's Medicare for All or single payer. It's the Democratic apparatus which is being used for control. And let me go a little bit further back here, because the Democratic and Republicans were at one point one party. And what they've been able to do is push out any other third party. So what we have here is the horseshoe theory in play. You either go left or you go right. It's the same agenda. And if you go back far enough, the Democratic Republican was one party. So this is how we're getting trapped, because no longer is Ralph Nader allowed to, or any third party, independent party, libertarian. They don't have these debates anymore. That stopped happening, I believe, right after John Kerry and George Bush. But this was a huge, I think, to people who are paying attention to the political apparatus, it's a scary thing, because we have now a left and right. And so what's happening now is this left and right snake movement, which, yeah, you know, maybe we will get an AOC, which ironically the Democratic Party was trying to unseat her and, you know, and did a huge power move to her through New York. I think it was the watering position she was trying to get up for, and they gave it to somebody who had no endorsement. So we're watching the Democratic Party literally shunt the progressive group, the squad, you know, here's the sad part of it is every time that we get hit, or, you know, oh, well, Bernie Sanders lost, well, we have to do what we have to do, and then what are they doing? They're appointing war criminals. You're happy that there's an but what good is that going to do?
I guess we'll see, Rob. Hold on. You're taking the lion's share here, which, you know, I usually take the lion's share, so that's okay. But I'd like to hear what other people think first of all. But
okay,
I agree with you. Hold on. Let me speak. All right. I agree with you, but I also disagree with you, and I think you can hold both those, because, you know, and if Deb Haaland actually does become Interior Secretary, she will have, you know, a large influence on changing people's lives and changing protecting species, protecting ecosystems, protecting habitats. You know, these positions are actually powerful. They can actually make real significant changes. The damages that were done in all the different by the different department heads under Trump were real damages. So, of course, yeah, we know that Biden is a neoliberal. I would have liked to have a Bernie Sanders. Of course, I agree. You know, sure, but within, you know, the parameters of power are the parameters of power. If you have the ability to organize a true revolutionary force along with whoever else, you know, and I see that as a going thing, I will join in. There's been moments in my life when I thought I was part of a true, you know, anti-colonial, you know, revolutionary resistance, and I could bore you with the details. And I wish there was something like that again. Maybe, you know, some of the, you know, what's happening in Portland and on a small level is part of that. I don't know. I don't see it really growing or developing. So I see, you know, a dual, you know, what the people call a dual power, that there's building power from below, like I assume people like you are doing along with others, but also respecting the choices that people make, to operate within the existing hierarchical, white supremacist, patriarchal power system to actually make real changes. I don't think reform and revolution are actually mutually exclusive. So again, I think you can hold the understanding that Biden is part of the old power system and he's going to continue a lot of the same neoliberal policies, a lot of the same imperial policies as his predecessors, but that within that, there's also other things happening that we also need to pay attention to.
So I'll just finish with one last point, which my point is that we will never see those coming through those things, which is why we're offered what it is that we're being offered. So that's our disagreement, is I think the system is too large. I think that the moment there becomes an actual movement, it gets right away thrown stuff like the COINTELPRO. It's how they down here on the street, back when Portland police first started, well, actually just police in the George Floyd protests, when that first started happening, the police got right away involved and they were sending people, dressed up. And this happened across America. What happened is we saw that the police started taking knees with certain organizers. To think that we have a democracy and that anybody can just go and run and that there's going to be a grassroots campaign, I think that's a fallacy, because we need to get beyond this. It's not going to happen.
Good luck to all your and everybody else's efforts, and I will support them as I have if I see them as being, really actual grounded, powerful movements that are making changes. So all power to you, all power to the people, and let's see what happens. So thank you for calling, Robbie. 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I don't want to, sound like a cynical, jaded, older person who's like seen a lot, although I'm sure I have seen more than Robbie has. I certainly, the abilities of the system to recuperate radical energies is evident in history. That's what it does. The ability of the spectacular, commodified culture to commodify everything and to make into a spectacle everything is that's what it does. So what are our opportunities to actually influence things within the existing system, or without outside of the existing system? I think outside and inside, I would love to see something that could make the capitalist system collapse and renew it from within or from without or whatever. And I've been part of those efforts. I also see that people who make principled decisions to work within the existing power structure in order to, leverage the power of their own communities to honor their constituencies and their comrades by trying to make real incremental changes, I think is something to be respected, and I don't think those things are necessarily mutually exclusive. I think what I've said in the past, and I invite people to call in and respond to Robbie, respond to me, talk about whatever you want, 503-231-8187. What I see is the most interesting possibility is that a real movement arises within during a Democratic administration. I remember how Clinton, bought off a lot of the radical energy that was going on, certainly in the forest protection movement, more broadly in the environmental movement. The nonprofit industrial complex allied with the Democratic Party and the big funders sort of bought off a lot of the energy that was demanding much, much more than we got with the Northwest Forest Plan, although I appreciate what we did get with the Northwest Forest Plan. It's something that's been repeated throughout history in the environmental movement and other movements, as Robbie rightly talks about. And we need to get beyond that. We need to get beyond the framing of movements and the framing of social change by the same forces that are cooperating with the capitalist system in the destruction of the planet. I think I've developed perhaps a more nuanced perspective than Robbie. I could be wrong. I certainly think that radical change tends to come from younger people, and so I appreciate that there's some youthful energy on the front lines once again. And I'm looking forward to 2021, despite the accelerating climate change and biosphere destruction, and groups like, you know, frankly, the Patriot Front that are emboldened, have been emboldened by Trumpism, and, you know, the fact that so many millions of people voted for Trump despite his obvious espousing of the most retrograde ideologies of the United States. But it looks like we've got another caller. I invite everybody to call in, 503-231-8187. I especially invite female voices to call in. We have much less of than male voices, but I appreciate every voice. So let's hear what Thomas has to say. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm a little frustrated about a topic that I haven't heard discussed on KWU, or even on, like, Democracy Now!, and it may just be me. Maybe I'm just missing it, but I've been paying a lot of attention to Jimmy Dore and his YouTube program, and he's brought up this issue about forcing the vote and having the real progressive people in the Democratic Party. This is an action that can really happen to withhold their vote from Nancy Pelosi for reelecting her as a Speaker of the House unless she puts the Medicare for All, universal health care issue up for vote. And all it would take, bouncing back and forth in this discussion, would be a few people, just a handful, and she wouldn't get her 218 votes, and she would be out. There's been a lot of objection to it, and AOC has jumped into this. It seems that she's almost been selected as a front person for the so-called squad and progressives in the Democratic Party to oppose this. And, of course, Jimmy Dore, he does pretty good research on his show.
Wait, to oppose this forcing the vote idea?
Yes, to oppose it.
Okay.
Yes, AOC is fighting, you know, very strongly against doing this for a lot of reasons, as is the co-chair of the Democratic Progressive Caucus, Pocan, a man named Pocan. I guess he's a congressperson, you know. But they are just pushing back on this, and we're at a point here where they really have power and leverage now. A handful of these so-called progressive Democrats, the real ones, not the Progressive Caucus. They are just they're not real progressives. They're fighting against this, and all they have to do is get that squad, just that squad, to withhold their vote, and Nancy Pelosi is out. Now, she does not want that, obviously. So here they have this point of leverage, and they're not going to exercise it for every excuse you can think of. Cornel West supports this, and a lot of other people, too. There's another show called Rising with Crystal and Sagar, these two commentators who I personally kind of like. They support it, and they have debunked all of their arguments about not doing this, and it's certainly not going to be in the regular mainstream media. You're never going to hear this on the news or the national news shows or anything like that, because it is, and they're going to give this up. This is amazing, and I'm a little shocked that I'm not hearing more about it from cable. I'm not pointing the finger at cable. It's just that I like to listen to cable, and I don't hear it. And you can tell me if it's been discussed, or even on Democracy Now!, and it's right
there. Let me tell you what I think about how the so-called alternative media ecosystem. I kind of hate that term ecosystem used in that case, but how it works to some extent. I think if you talk about it here on my show, one little tiny corner of that universe, and you talk about it. You know, you call in on other shows, and you know, you email people, and you. I think some people hear this, and I think eventually it would land up on the more it gets talked about here, and say Dennis Bernstein talks about it on his show. It will appear on Democracy Now, and then, you know, she's a lot closer, you know, she's in New York after all, and really close to that. And then I think that's important. I think it's important to talk about it. So I'm glad, really glad you called up. I actually, you know, I'll just confess right off the bat, you know, I didn't even know about it. Why would I confess that when it makes me look ignorant? You know, because, you know, probably if I was, you know, if there wasn't the COVID crisis and I was going into KBOO more regularly, I'd probably come across it more. But the fact that I haven't seen it even on my Facebook feed, I haven't, you know, that's a little alarming to me. That shows that you're quite right, that it's not really being talked about. So I think that's really important to raise your voice.
Yeah, and apparently Jimmy Dore, I don't know what this means because I don't use all that social media stuff, but this whole issue was, they say, trending. It was trending on the social media and things like this, and I don't know what that means, but it sounds like it means a big deal, you know, that so there are a lot of people talking about this, and you know, a lot of people involved in trying to, giving a lot of really bad, I mean, it's all the Democrats and the liberals bashing Jimmy Dore, because Jimmy Dore is just he calls himself a pot-smoking stand-up comedian. And he said, why could I figure this out? And all of these politicians, these great people, are not talking about this, you know. So there's a...
So how do you spell his last name, Dore?
Jimmy Dore, D-O-R-E, the Jimmy Dore Show. Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Great.
You put him on today, you'll see. He'll be talking about this, and he's got a lot of great videos, and his research is also very good. I mean, he must have a crew there who are doing research, and he's played all the quotes from AOC and how she, before all of this started happening and they got to this position, she is saying how important it is to pressure politicians. You must pressure them, otherwise they will do nothing. The old FDR line, you know, make me do it. And here's Jimmy, who instigated this thing, and it's spreading a little bit, pushing and forcing. But man, those Democrats are fighting back against him, and they don't want to do it for a lot of good reasons to them, you know. And it won't.
Okay.
This is an opportunity that they're just going to let go by. But the Democrats do that. They find reasons not to be able to do things, you know. So
well,
anyway,
well, I appreciate
that's all
you
I got
calling
today.
Up, Thomas. Maybe other people want to weigh in on that or other things. I appreciate your amplifying your own voice here on KBOO Community Radio. Thanks a lot for calling, Thomas. 503-231-8187. We got lines open. My name's Paul Rowland. I'm the host of Wednesday Talk Radio. I just want to make a plug for giving to KBOO. We have our Give Guide. We're in the Willamette Give Guide, and we have our end of the year request for people to support our radio station. Go to kboo.fm, and you'll see right there when you go there what to do. If you haven't supported us recently, we would really appreciate that right now. So we're talking about big politics. I kind of framed the subject by talking about my previous guest of a few weeks ago, Ted Rall, who put forth this in an article called December Will Be Very Dangerous, talked about the possibility of an actual coup d'etat and local police and state police forces rising up. Interesting to think of that when you think of what I was talking about that happened at the state capitol a couple days ago with the, you know, the Patriot Prayer, the right-wing fascists squaring off against the state police, and, you know, let's admit it, getting off really easy compared to what black folks, indigenous folks, Latinx people would have suffered, or some scruffy radical white folks in the same left-wing right folks in the same position But, you know, maybe they'll start looking a little bit different when they see the ugliness that those Patriot Prayer, Patriot Front people represent. So I'd be interested if anybody listening in the Salem area witnessed those events. There was also the terrible flood of a houseless camp that happened down there, affected, I don't know, 60 or 70 people. And I know it was a camp that floods on a fairly regular basis. And I think they asked the local authorities to try to do something about them, give them some alternative housing. I know that's a difficult struggle in the best of circumstances. There's a lot of resistance from the authorities to actually address the houseless crisis in much more thoroughgoing ways. There's also a serious lack of resources, especially with the COVID pandemic. It's a brutal time as we head into winter. So if anybody experienced that, please call in at 503-231-8187. Tell us about it. Anybody gotten the vaccine yet? Be interested in your experiences around that. But most of all, I'd like to hear from you, the listener. This is an open line session here on Wednesday Talk Radio. So give us a call at 503-231-8187. And it looks like, lo and behold, we've got Maureen up and ready to talk. Hi, Maureen. Hello? Are you with us?
Hello?
Yeah,
hello,
you're on the air.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, wow. This is Kathy. I just got connected straight into you without anyone answering the phone. So I don't know what happened to Maureen.
So go ahead. I guess Maureen is up next. Go ahead, Kathy. What do you got to say?
Okay. Hi. I wanted to say that it frustrates me that everyone is so focused on what can happen in Washington, because I really, you know, I'm a member, a little bit younger, but a member of the 60s generation, and we had so many incredible ideas back then, and those ideas are still, you know, good and developing and in play and being held by people of that generation. And so most of what was happening was grassroots. And it's really exciting to see this younger, you know, youth generation coming up with their great ideas and stuff. But they really do respect people of our generation, and we need to pass, you know, along a lot of the wisdom. And one of the things was the humor. It's like, what is happening with the Republicans? They are so ridiculous, and they are so unhip, but they want to be hip. I mean, they imitate us when we get it right, when we give them an example, but so often we are stuck in all these big moves with big technology, and on the ground, our basic message was be organic, be simple, stay close to home, stop using cars and planes, and, you know, definitely network out with all that stuff, but, you know, it's like, think globally, act locally. And mm-hmm. these are also messages that can appeal to conservatives as well. I mean, you know, the whole idea that it's the right versus the left all the time, I mean, that is obviously, you know, divide and conquer. You know, you and I know that, and most of the listeners know that. But, I mean, we're still being played by this idea that, oh, the power's in Washington, you know, it's either us or them. Do you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I fully agree. I mean, I think right and left are actually represent, you know, real different worldviews, ideologies, practices, you know, often, you know, certainly I don't find much in common with the, as I was talking about, the Patriot Prayer and the Patriot Front, who
oh, sure.
were wreaking havoc down at the Capitol the other day. And you know, it's unfortunate that they've sort of got themselves into that blind alley of a worldview, and they're, but they, that's where they are, you know. And certainly Trump is like a kind of a caged rat at this, cornered rat at this point, who is lashing out. I see, you know, as I see a lot of the, as I've sort of called the, what I call them is the Americaners, sort of the equivalent of the Afrikaners, waging this rear guard action against a, in our case, it's, you know, there is no indigenous majority. We, you know, there's a, through genocide and disease and, you know, demographic expansion of the non-indigenous population, we did away with that. But ideologically, there's a sort of a similar, I think, a similar situation going on. But so I think, yeah, right and left does mean something.
Well,
don't dismiss it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, those guys are really the lunatic fringe. I mean, of course, they're being, you know, partly in the White House, they, it's kind of hard to call them the fringe. And, of course, all the people that put Trump in the White House, too, like, what are they thinking? But, I mean, the basic concepts of the thoughtful Republicans is what I'm talking about. It basically, peace is something that everybody does want. It's, you know, we disagree.
I don't know if that's even true. I think there's people who want war. I think there's people who thrive on war. I think the Patriot Prayer people thrive on violent conflict. I think they actually seek it out. And I think they represent, you know, they represent the colonial, you know, the colonial violent genocidal colonial takeover of this continent, which is still alive and well, unfortunately. I think there's people who, you know, they, that's what, like I said, they sticker they're going around with, not stolen, conquered. They're
okay,
proud of the fact.
Well, so let's take that idea, though, that, you know, I was saying it was the one that could pick friends. You're making the point that, yeah, it is the mainstream, and indeed, that's certainly, you know, that's certainly, you know, the case, but nevertheless, at heart, that we want peace, and we disagree about the means to peace. They, I think, in some corner of their minds are thinking, well, we're having this battle so that we can get back to the America that was a peaceful place, and we're saying, hey, we want to move forward into an America that is peaceful because it's egalitarian, because all voices are being included, and we also we demonstrate for the most part nonviolently, because we don't believe in the violent conflict as conflict resolution. But my point is really that we have all this great wisdom. Where they're coming from is largely a childish position, with a position that the true intellectual left is coming from is the position of the adults.
Okay.
And that's,
well, those,
you
are
know, also the position
things.
Of the truth, which is also very powerful.
Okay. I certainly agree with what the last thing you said, for sure, that we're, you know, there's a difference in, you know, the idea of a sort of a law and order peace imposed from the top by force, and, you know, basically benefiting the unequal, you know, people who have been holding power since the get-go, and the latecomers, as opposed to a real peace that's based upon, as you say, equality of opportunity and equality of means and racial justice and all the other good things. Certainly, I agree with that. Well, thank you for calling, Kathy. I appreciate it. Always good to hear from you.
Okay.
503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Oh, I just got a note that said the hold button on the phone in the studio is... Hello?
We're,
is that Maureen?
Maureen online. Maureen's online.
Okay, great.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Are you Paul?
Yep.
Hi, Paul. I'm calling because... Oh,
there we go. We resolved that problem. Sorry, some technical problems on the phone system.
We lost her. She'll call
back. Oh, wait, that was, I thought, well, Maureen, please, we beseech you. First, I had said you were coming on, and then we had Kathy. And how we lost you. 503-231-8187. I beseech you, Maureen, to please call us back. If we
Hi. Hello?
There you go. Yep, you're on.
Hi. Okay, here we are. I'm calling because I found the last conversation really compelling. And what I wanted to say from my perspective is that I actually think that there's nothing going on externally in the larger world or with other people that isn't true for the individual. And I think that because things are confusing as humans and on Earth, it's very hard for people to actually acknowledge that. But what I want to say about this situation is that the degree to which I separate myself from Trump or anybody else is the exact same thing as when he does that with people of color or women or whatever it happens to be. And at this point, in having let people project their own anxiety and really animosity and prejudice towards other people, is to find that thing that you're so frightened of inside yourself. That's my feeling, is that if we want a unified country, we need to actually be unified internally, which means I believe that we all have everything inside of us, every part of us, including love, including hate, including fear, all those things. And that if we
so what do you do with the people who aren't willing to do that work?
But see, I think the point is not to keep looking to other people to be the change. Like, my experience with what I'm talking about, and I do actually have experience with it, is that when I change my inner world, the whole world looks different. Literally, it looks different. It looks like some really strange, gigantic place where people can learn and grow and love. Or they can be terribly disappointed and disheartened and depressed. I mean, it's a whole gamut of what people choose to take away from the experience of being human. But I've heard so many people project their fears out to, this didn't come out of thin air, the circumstance we have in our country, in the world. It's a part of us. It's our baby. And not in a blaming way. Like, that doesn't work either, to be self-hating.
But right, but the world precedes us. So obviously, the way we are is also a reflection of the way the world is. I mean, I agree with what you're saying about the importance of getting our own, you know, internal house in order, or however you want to say it, and you know, going through the kind of important changes that we need to do to you know, be human beings. But I see the corollary as being also true, that nothing is going on in the individual that isn't going on in the broader world. So I see both. I see that they're not mutually exclusive. The, you know, working changes in the broader world and working changes in ourselves. I think that's a false dichotomy, personally.
Well, now, and actually, to be honest with you, you mean you're saying you think the world informs us versus the idea that exclusively we inform the world, that the world shows up according to us. Is that what you're saying? Is that where you disagree?
That's part of it, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, and again, I mean...
But to change things, we can't... Changing ourselves isn't sufficient. It's necessary, but not sufficient. We also have to work to change the existing systems. The systems are not just... individuals. The systems are separate also from the individuals, and they constrain the individual's ability to operate in a real human way. So we have to also change the systems in addition to changing ourselves.
Well, no, I mean, I think that that is an organic process, but I'm not talking intellectually. I'm talking about something that experientially I've seen in myself. I've seen it in other people. The truth is that people, what I'm talking about is a fairly terrifying process. It means ultimate responsibility for who we are, for the world that we live in, for the things that we create. And it's much worse actually not to live that way, which is the world we generally live in. But
Yes, I'm saying that this is truly and literally possible. Like with Donald Trump, the truth is that there's no one that I know that doesn't know what greed is, what thinking about yourself exclusive of other people is, of hatred, of inciting rage. There's no one I know that doesn't have those characteristics. So, like, why not, as a thought experiment, sit down with Trump inside you and have a conversation about where you can find some common ground, where you can take responsibility for the situation that we live in.
I'll go along with that for sure. I mean, and I can't say I know exactly experientially what you're talking about, because your experience is not my experience, but I guess I would also say that the problem is also that there is a real Trump in a real system of power, just as there will be a real Biden, and you know, there's this existing system, and the problem is we can't, you know, first of all, the country's so big and the power systems are so kind of impenetrable that well, I guess the corollary, like I said before, the corollary of the outside world and the individual, the corollary to what you're saying for me is that we can't sit down with them, the real people. That's the problem. We could, to some extent, we can sit down. You know, we can go to the, you know, sit down with our legislators. I mean, I see a fundamental problem with the existence of this alienated form of mass society and these big, huge decision-making systems that are so separate from our lives. I mean, I'm more of, I guess, a sort of an anarchist in some ways, that I believe that we really need to live in a world in which, you know, we make decisions along with our neighbors about all the important decisions that affect our lives. We don't live in that world. And the problem is we can't, you know, the people who are making these decisions over our lives, whether they be in the military or the police, we can't, there's barriers to us sitting down and talk with them. So the important work at an internal level that you're talking about, you know, yeah, we can do that, but the problem is we can't often do that other work because of structural impediments.
Well, you see, I mean, I can understand your point of view, and I just want to say I appreciate the fact that you're here having dialogues with people, and I just want to say again that what you're describing isn't my experience, but literally, if we are willing to do what I'm recommending, that everything will be accessible. I think our power as human beings is completely unlimited, and I think we have constructs and paradigms where we imagine that we're small or helpless or, you know, again, and I know what you're not saying this.
I guess I disagree with that. That's, I guess, what I would call an idealist position as opposed to like a materialist position, but maybe I'm just talking abstract ideology. But I appreciate what you're saying, and it looks like we've got another caller, so I appreciate hearing you out, and thanks for calling. Okay, and that was Maureen. We only have less than 10 minutes left. This has been interesting. Go ahead, George, you're on the air.
Okay, hi, Paul. I asked the library a few days ago, about a week ago, for a good, well-informed essay on the COVID-19 epidemic by someone who isn't, how can I put it, has not been stampeded into an uncritical acceptance of what's being put out. And they mailed me an essay by a physician and master's in social work whose name is Matt Irwin, and it's 43 pages with a 10-page bibliography, quite a few scientific journals cited, as well as newspaper articles.
Well, in a nutshell, what does he say?
He says basically it's a very complex issue, but the entire notion that the COVID epidemic is caused by COVID, he says there are many serious problems, including poverty and epidemic diseases all over the place, and these are what we should be paying attention to. And I would just like to give the title of the essay. I think it is well worth reading. And
okay.
I will give the title, if that's okay.
Yes.
The title of the essay is A Rapidly Changing View of COVID-19, and the author's name, Matt, M-A-T-T, Irwin, I-R-W-I-N, who is an MD and a master's in social work, and the date of it is July 12th, 2020, which is kind of not too recent. So thanks.
Well, I guess the way things are going so fast in this world, it isn't recent, but that's pretty recent in my book. I'm still harking back to, you know, the glory days of my youth myself. But anyway, we won't go there. So thanks for that that addition. Any other last thoughts about that before I let you go?
No, only that he seems to be a very careful thinker in what I would call medical and scientific tradition. Well, not only tradition, but recently. And that's all I have. And I want to thank you for this program, Paul.
Okay. Well, thanks, George. Always good to hear from you. We've got maybe 5 minutes left, and we do have an open phone line, 503-231-8187. I guess we're having some problems with the line we're on, which is why you heard a little bit of technical snafu, but Ty says he switched phones. There's two phones there in the air room, as if that matters to anybody. I'm Paul Rowland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. Our conversation, as my open phone conversations usually are, has kind of been all over the place, which is good, since I really didn't have one specific focus. I kind of did want to talk about this Patriot Front group. Looking up their website, when our pre-Columbian forefathers left their European homes, they found a savage continent. They held a variety of purpose, yet against the harsh life on the frontier and the common enemy in the strange and unexplored reaches of America yet to be touched by civilization, they found a common cause and a common identity as Americans. From the ferried nations and cultures of Europe, a new nation was forged in the flames of conquest. So yeah, that's the Patriot Front. I mean, you know, they move around a lot. The old trick of moving around a lot and putting out a lot of stuff and making it seem like they're a bigger deal than they are. So I don't want to give them too much credit. But as I said before, as we all know, they've been emboldened by this Trumpist shift to fascism, which I think, as opposed to maybe our previous caller, Robbie, is more dangerous than neoliberalism. Maybe I'm mistaken. I think that's an important conversation. I do think that there is room to actually shift the terrain without having a revolutionary movement, which is not, as I see it, in the offing as yet, but to shift the terrain within the existing framework, which I think has importance. So that's just me. I'm just one little person here on a one little talk radio show. It looks like we got Hugh. Go ahead. What do you got to say, Hugh?
Just what you said about shifting the... Oh, gosh, I feel rushed. But what I think her name was Maureen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she was saying what we need. We do create our reality and how we think, feel, and react. And what she's considering about or talking about is also labeled as Ho'oponopono, H-O-O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O, and it's a Hawaiian way of healing, where we sort of look at the world, we view the world, we give it a big hug, and then we go into ourselves and we heal ourselves, which promotes healing for the outside world. And
you think that's going to slow down climate change?
Well, it's even labeling Trump as a, you know, I just can't believe this last 4 years. You know, I've lost my mind. But labeling Trump as a problem, you know, we got to sort of say he might even be a cure to wake us all up and to alter everything into more of a positive thought and taking total personal responsibility within ourselves first. That's the way to do it. And I'm telling you, she's right. Maureen is totally right. It'll heal everything.
Uh-huh.
It's going to take a long time because...
Well, you see, where I disagree maybe is I don't think we have a long time. I think the urgency of the climate crisis actually imposes an external set of a timing on us. And it's a terrible bind and a terrible contradiction. So I, you know, I wish I could have the kind of optimism and
no, I hear you, that you have. But I think when we think about all those troubles, and I'm the same way, I go into somewhat of a panic. And when we're
in
a panic,
I'm not in a panic. I'm just trying to describe what I see as reality.
We get very concerned and very concerned about it all. And when we have that very big concern, we lose our self responsibilities. It's hard for me to explain it all right now because I just
heard
Maureen
talking. Well, we can disagree to disagree, I guess.
Well, I don't want to say we disagree or not. And time isn't linear. I don't even think time and space doesn't even exist, you know?
Okay, well, thank you, Hugh. It's been interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We're all out
Thanks
of time.
Thanks a lot for your show. Thank
yeah,
you.
All right. Thank you very much. So, well, I don't know. It's hard to know. I don't see those things as being mutually exclusive. So I guess where it seems that when people like Maureen and Hugh, who I respect the view of, you know, the importance of taking personal responsibility and changing ourselves. I just think it's too individualistic. And I think the problem is in the nature of the culture that we live in that separates us as individuals and doesn't allow for the kind of strong groups that used to exist and still exist in different forms in terms of the indigenous nations that were living just fine and dandy here on this continent until European colonization happened and slavery happened and this whole monstrous system, imperial system, developed out of the vast resources of the expansionist U.S. empire, and that's what we're saddled with. And it ain't gonna shrink it, it's just thinking that way. But anyway, I've got to go now, so thank you, Ty, for operating the board. Thank you, everybody who called. This is Paul Rowland with Wednesday Talk Radio. Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO.